Okay, so today is Friday, the 9th of August, 2019. Ches Menachemav, Shanayin Tess. It is Sam Samuel's birthday, and Sam happens to be the 9th cousin of the Munkacher Rebbe. Very good. Actually, at this point, the 9th cousin was removed of the current Munkacher Rebbe. So we're up to Mefarshim Day, Perek Lamed Aleph. It is the what happens here. Bnei Yisrael goes to war against Midian to avenge what Midian had done to them. There is a war, and then there is the aftermath of the war. That's the most of the chapter here that we're dealing with. So the chapter begins with Vayedbar Hashem Moshe L'Emor. So that is probably the most common verse in the entire Torah, I would bet. But Or HaChaim all of a sudden jumps in here, and for some reason the Ramban didn't. I'm not sure what happened to the Ramban. They were pretty much all Or HaChaims until we get to a couple of very important but more halachic Rambans a little bit later on. So the Or HaChaim says that's, you know, well, the word Vayidaber, we could make a couple of ha'aros about that pasuk, a couple of notes they want to say, not more than just meets the eye. But Vayidaber is a language, as we've spoken in the past, of speaking. Vayidaber is to speak, and Vayomer is to say. So speaking is more authoritative than saying. So what is the meaning of the word Vayigra? So it says, the Or HaChaim, Kashi Madibur Ba Lemor L'Yisrael Kinishma Metevas Lemor, right, that Dibur is more harsh than Lemor. So Ha'ilalomar Nikmo Nikmaschem. This is in the Kama. So what is that? So the... Let's see, the Medrash makes that point. And why is Hashem speaking, and why is Hashem use that terminology? So Amar Lamoshe, Li Ro'i Misa Shir Isi Niflos. Says Moshe, do I really deserve death? Moshe, this is all Moshe angling to perhaps be left alive. Upaisu Hashem b'shnei dvarim. Hashem appeased him with two things. He said, well, you are going to still die. But Moshe said, really, do I need to? So Hashem appeased him by saying, if you want to live many more years, you could, but Bnei Yisrael is not going. We're not going to go to war until you're ready to move on. After this war, Moshe, the time is going to be up for you. So you could wait for a while, but you're just going to be holding up the process of Bnei Yisrael. You're going to be holding up their progress by remaining alive. So therefore, in order to be mefayis Moshe, so therefore that's the lemur at the end. So the vaydaber is him telling you're going to have to die, and lemur is trying to appease him, but like it's okay, and Bnei Yisrael is going to be in good hands. Says the Or HaChaim continues. Vayedber Lashon Koshi is a year most l'shnei mine Koshi. Echad l'Moshe Hamitasu ve'echad b'nei Hashem al shekanas al yedido Hamisa. That one is that Moshe is going to die, and the other one is that it's hard for Hashem to cause Moshe to die, for his friend Moshe to die. V'tevas leimor is chavin lirmos al hapius shepayis Hashem l'Moshe li'spayis lamos. Is the appeasement that was necessary in order to make it happen, or he says maybe it was the ritzoy that Moshe did to Hashem in order to that he should not die. That's being referenced to word lemor. A little hard to say because it's all really Hashem speaking towards Moshe. So it seems like most of them have to do it. It should be the two aspects of Moshe appeasing of Hashem. A commanding and B appeasing Moshe. The Or HaChaim continues on and says, according to the simplest explanation, it's like it is the rest of the Torah. Vayidber Hashem. Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, meaning Moshe, go ahead and say it to the rest of Bnei Yisrael. That maybe Moshe would have thought that he has to do it himself. So therefore, it's coming and telling him, no, tell all Bnei Yisrael that they're going to have to go again. Okay. The Pasuk then continues, Pasuk Beis, you're going to avenge for Bnei Yisrael from the Midianim. So the Or HaChaim comments on this. What is this language of avenge? So one is that you, Moshe, have to figure out the avengement. That's going to be your job. You're in charge of figuring out what the battle plan is going to be in order to be successful. The Or HaChaim continues on and says, Gan lefi hiskil v'mesh lefaneinu shehut tzarech liyizchachmus v'sei deradav But it's a little more tricky here because the Or HaChaim points out an interesting point. Who's Bnei Yisrael? Who are they fighting against here? They're fighting against Midian. What did Midian do? Midian were the ones who set the woman in order to seduce Bnei Yisrael. So now they're going to go into Midian. No, this is the Midian. Beis HaMidianim. Beis. Good point. Second, I think maybe they sent Midianite woman. No, it clearly says Midianit in Pasuk Vav in the end of Parshas Balak.
Where did I get that from?
Well, it makes, you know, it's the way we understand the story, which is actually a quote in Rashi here, is that Bilam gave a recommendation to, oh, actually it says both. There we go. Okay, so in Pasuk Aleph of that chapter, it says, Yisrael and Shiftim, and Bnei Yisrael began to be Mizana with the daughters of Moab. But then later on it says that, Pasuk Vav, Bnei Ish Bnei Yisrael, Bavi Krev El Echav Es HaMidyanis, Lene Moshe. And that's referring to Zimri and Cosby, who was a Midianite, who was from Midian, and perhaps she brought some of her friends along with her in order to do this act. But the chapter opens up by pointing out that Bnei Yisrael taking Moab actually had a good reason. They were afraid of Bnei Yisrael attacking them. The Midianites didn't, and therefore they're going to be suffering the worst punishment. Okay, good point. So, but here Moshe is bringing them, telling them to attack Midian, so who are they going to meet when they're attacking Midian? But the same woman who were Mizan, they were Mizan with in the first place. So therefore it's going to take a little bit of wisdom how to make sure that that doesn't happen again. Right, v'adrabi katrig hamakatrig lafilim, that you're going to have to figure out, you know, to sort of take them out and kill them. That's your job now, but it's going to be a little. And beyond that, I think he actually adds in that that Bnei Yisrael may not feel so, it may have an inferiority complex. I mean, why are we attacking you? We're the ones who sin just like you sin, right? So. Okay, that's going to require the wisdom of Moshe to figure out how to overcome that challenge. Okay, Pasuk Vav, he says that he sent Pinchas. Why did he send Pinchas and not Eliezer, not Yeshua? So says the Orach Chaim, Vayishach Nischavim la'asos shluchei mitzvah linkom nekamas Hashem, that he wanted to turn them into shluchei mitzvah while they go and avenge for Hashem. And boy, but shluchei mitzvah aren't punished. So therefore it says Osam twice. It says in that Pasuk, Vayishach Osam Moshe elf matel tzavah, he sent 1,000 people per tribe. And Osam vs Pinchas ben Elazar Kohen Latzava. So why is that twice? Lima Sheshakel Pinchas Keneged Kulam. That Pinchas equal the rest of them. And why did he choose Pinchas not Yeshua? Gamzem is Chakmus Hanakam. That was also part of the wisdom. Kizehu Asher Kina Va'asa Behem Shvatim Muflayim. B'Samachu B'Choach Muflayim LaHashvid Kol Uma Hatmeya. Because he started it already. He was the one who began. Pinchas was the one who began the mitzvah. So therefore, he should be able. He already understood what's at stake here. Also, Moshe. Here it is. Right, Gam Efshar Shechash Moshe LeKatru Ganashim. He was afraid of the attack of the people. Lamalo Michu Bezonim Hagam Shehim Nekayim. Right, Lezen Nischakim V'Shalach Hamikna Kanos Hashem B'Mesiris Nafshovu Likeihu Mashadakim Maimer Osam V'Yas Pinchas. That the people were going to question this. Why are we doing this? We're the ones who sinned with them. So therefore, he had to send Pinchas, who had already demonstrated a degree of zealotry, and able to go make sure to follow the ruling of Hashem.
Pinchas was the enforcer.
Okay. He officially went as the Meshuach Melchama, as the Kohen Gadol going out to war. Yeah. That's what it seems, yeah. Okay, so one more piece from the Orach Chaim, then we'll get into these.
Who mentions that Moshe was frightened that the man might be seduced by.
No, this is all the Orach Chaim today.
Okay, so.
Yeah. Also, that he sends out, well, thus far, all the Arachayim. Also, that there is this pasuk about Bilam, that he killed all these governors, these 5 governors, and Bilam ben Beor he killed with a sword. So remember, the other day we talked about Hargu Becher versus. What?
The mouse of the sword.
Right, as opposed to Lefi Charev, right. So that was in Rashi and the in What's Bothering Rashi book. But here the Orach Chaim also jumps in and says, Hargu b'charev, chutzruch lama hargu agam shemuvan hu sharguhu masmicho zichrono imanei ragim. Yisbar al pi devarim sh'amru ki bilam halach mimidyan likras yisrael yatsam labal yilcham mimidyan. This is hinting to an idea. Well, why do we have to spell out, if all the men of Midian were killed, so who's included in the men of Midian? Bilam. So why does Bilam have to get some kind of special mention? So the Or HaChaim says was Bilam wasn't killed with the rest of the men. Bilam went ahead from Midian to greet the Jewish people to tell them that perhaps you shouldn't attack. You shouldn't attack Midian. And well, Vayomer, he says, and he compares them. You know, when you were in Egypt, you and then I'm not sure. It says Vechulei, so I'm not sure what the I'm not sure what the argument was that Bilam gave. It's not given on the daf here, but Bilam does go and attempt to appease the Jewish people, and they killed him. That's what the Or HaChaim says here. Right? Hadvarim yagidu ki Bilam nera kudem arigas Hashem malchei Midian, and therefore this is telling you that Bilam had a special killing, that they killed him when he went as they were on their way to Midian.
There's no commentary. He was the source of all their problems. Why he thought he could negotiate with them? Nobody says that. And what we all, a lot of times people talk. I mean, I think there's commentaries on Philip sinking when he was being requested to go there, right?
Okay, so
commentary why he did this, why he did
okay,
that.
Okay, sure.
You know his own.
Okay.
He wanted to be honored.
Great.
Was he such an egomaniac?
Did he thought
he actually
have
to do
an accident? Like I'm not going to make a psychological evaluation from here.
There was no commentary on this.
I just said a commentary. He was attempting to.
No, but it doesn't say why he was so oblivious to reality. I mean, it's reality.
I don't know if that means. Otherwise, he knew he was going to be killed with everyone else. He figured he'd take a shot.
Oh, maybe.
Okay, so Or HaChaim also says, that he adds in here, Vatahargu Kozachar, Pasuk Tes Zion here, 16. Hein Heina Yu Levnei Yisrael B'Dvar Bilam, Lamasar Ma'al Ba'Hashem Al Devar Pu'or. This happened from Bnei Yisrael that they. He's saying a little more. Moshe says, why do you allow all the women to live? That's in verse 15 and 16. They were the ones who caused you to limster mal v'Hashem al devar poor. That caused them going against Hashem with regards to poor. And that caused the whole magifah. So why were they permitted to live? So says the Or HaChaim, you know, it's an interesting diuk here. First of all, what does it say that they caused Bnei Yisrael to sin with in this pasuk?
Poor.
All it says is poor. Doesn't say there's nus. So says the Or HaChaim, maybe because Bnei Yisrael thought that why should we allow the woman to die, why should we kill the woman? They were only under the direction of their husbands. Their husbands made them do it. That's his suggestion. Sarach Las, Kavanas Amro Hein Heina. Od Lama Harich Lomer Bedar Bilam Al Dar Poor Bizbar Hadavar Beir Lama Shegagul Pinchas Zike Elyon Shahachul Ima Bedvar Zachin Pinchas Vanshi Etzava Danu Betur Patrum Bitam Shanoshin Kufufus Hein Lebaleim Vaseim Anusim Himri. What's the reason that they made the mistake and allowed them to live? So the Or HaChaim suggests because they said it's not their fault. Their husbands all made them do it. So turns to Or HaChaim and says, why were they wrong? Why were they wrong if their husbands didn't make them do it? I mean, their husbands did. Their husbands said, go out and be mezana with the Jewish people. Right? So their husbands did make them do it. So says the Or HaChaim, the only thing that the husbands told them to do was to be mezana with them, was to actually do the immoral act with them. El Shema, right? Right. The immoral act. In fact, that was the recommendation that Bilam gave. The only part of the advice that Bilam gave was that their God hates immorality, so tell the Jew women to go ahead and seduce them. Right. But the whole thing that not only did they seduce them, but also caused them to violate Avodah Zarah, that was the woman's idea. So therefore the woman deserved to die as well.
Why? Nobody
comes this way. And it's a little counterintuitive. The men died because they told the woman to do the immorality. The woman died because they caused the Jewish people to do Avodah Zarah. It's the opposite of what you think about it. What are you into? What's your problem? Okay. The motivation was is that the Moabites thought that they would be able to survive this way. Okay, so pasuk yates, in verse 19. So after so they kill them all. Except for the girl children. Okay, then 19. It says viatem chanu michutz lemachaneh shivas yamim kol hareg nefesh v'chol nogei b'chalal. That anybody who killed a person or anybody who touched the corpses tischatub yom hashvi atem ushvichem needs to be sprinkled on day 3 and on day 7. Right, atem ushvichem, all the people around, and you have to go through that. That is referring to the paraduma process. process, right? If you became Tamei, you're going to have to become, you're going to be subject to the Paraduma process. By the way, I saw an article just yesterday in the Jewish press. They interviewed the head of the of Machon HaMikdash in the old city of Yerushalayim. I sent you there once. Did you go? Machon HaMikdash, the people are making all the kelim for the... So they're doing all this. They talked about all the training they're doing, and they, pretty much the point of the article was, I'm saying, look, we're ready to build it. We just need the political way. The political... we just need the political will. What?
The temple?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
You've been there, okay. What'd I say? Something else. The Machon HaMikdash. So they said, yeah, we're ready to go. We're ready to go. We know exactly where everything needs to go. Oh, that was bought from there?
Yeah.
Okay, we know where everything needs to go. And there's the whole thing. Well, what about do we need a Paraduma? He says, well, first of all, first of all, you don't, if it's for time-bound korbanos, so you can do that even if one is tummy. That's true. I mean, that's a fact. But he says, but anyways, yeah, we have a whole bunch of paradumas that are ready to go. They're on a farm. I'm not telling you where. That's what this guy said. It's an article. Look at the Jewish press. It's an article that appeared yesterday. Or this, you know, this weekend's Jewish press. So yeah, we have a few paradumas that fit the halachas, requirement for a paraduma.
Oh, as you said. I thought, there's one a few years ago.
In Lakewood. It showed up in Lakewood. Everybody was going to visit. Yeah. And then it got pregnant.
Was that what happened?
Yeah.
Snooze.
It went out of town one night and...
Yeah.
Oh,
my God.
Anyways. What?
That's a real story?
It was in yesterday's Jewish press. Okay? Alan Appel is... listening in, perhaps you can look it up. All right. So the there is a halachic issue here. I mean, at first glance, and really first glance also includes Rashi. What's going on here? Why are Bnei Yisrael getting tummy? Why are they getting tummy? So especially if they're killing non-Jews. So first of all, one does become tummy from non-Jews. It's a little bit of a misconception. There, it may be that one is not metami, but they're not metami, but ohel, that they're not metami in a tent. But you have to touch them or you have to move them.
Right.
Even moving them without touching them is going to be. So says Rashi says. Well, actually, the Ramban here quotes Rashi. He says, "Remeir Omer Bahar Go B'Davar Makabel Tuma." So what must it be? You killed them with something that was Makabel Tuma, right? So this is telling you that if a Jew touches the non-Jew with a kli that is Makabel Tuma, so he's going to become Tamei like that which he is touching. So maybe I would have thought even if you shoot an arrow at him. Therefore, it says, no, you got to touch him. So, therefore, telling you that if he touches him, so then everyone's going to become tame. So, it says the Ramban, Veloni Schavan with Dvar Vetzli. He says, it doesn't fit with me, what he's saying. Shim Harag Bedavar Makabal Tumash, Shal Kli Shatav, Ein Adam Atami Tumash Shiva, Velo Tzer Chaza, Fisha Kli Av Lutuma, Vadam Shinitma Menu Rishon. He says, no, that's not the halacha. The halacha is that if you touch a dead person with a Kli that is Makabal Tuma, you do not become an Av Hatuma, you become what's known as a Rishon Latuma. You're already going to be the second step removed. And the second step removed, you are Tameh, but you are not obligated to go through the Para Aduma process. Yeah, so you have to go to the mix. So the Ramban is like, what's going on here? That doesn't fit the halacha. So Vima Kli Barzel Kfar Lamadnu L'Cherev Shehu Kachalo. Right? And if it was... We already learned it from someplace else. Okay. And if you want to say that he touched the kli while it was still attached to the mace, he tamiyos so kmesas, so tumas shiva, so tumas chibur midurabanani. That would only be tamid durabanan and not coming out of the Torah. So therefore, says the Ramban, I'll tell you what's going on here. That could be that he touched him. Um, I wrote something here that I can't read. Okay, but he explains Shabari Meir Lamin Mikan Shamis Mitami Bemasa, that the metuma here is not that he just touched the mace via a kli, but rather he touched it by moving it. Vim Hargu Mikabel Yad Oberomach Afilu Einbo Barzel Vinisu Behem Bishasha Mace Mitami Uto Bemasa Tuma Shiva. He says, right, there's three ways of becoming tame. One time in a ohel, right, in a dwelling, so that's not going to be applicable here. The second one, and it might not even work with a non-Jew, the second one is to touch the mace, but he didn't touch him either. The third one is to move the mace. And he suggests if you move the mace, even if you shoot a spear at the person, but you cause him to move, one would be metame and go through this process. When it talks about a kli mekabel tuma, it's not talking about the vessel itself, it's talking about the person who is accepting the tuma. No matter what the vessel is made of, he's going to become tameh, not because he touched the mace, but because he moved the mace. That's the halachic point that the Ramban makes here. Okay, one more halachic point that the Ramban makes, and that is a couple of psukim later. So it refers to these metal kelim, pasuk kafes, that you can take all the metal kelim, but kol devar asher yavu be'esh, pasuk chaf gimel, anything that came in contact with fire, tavu ve'esh v'teher. You should bring in fire and purify it. Ach me'nida yischata v'chol asher lo yavu be'esh tavu v'mayim. And it should be ach me'nida yischata. It should come in contact with the me'nida. So what is that talking about? So the Rashi here explains that this seems to be, at first glance, referring to be metame from tumas mace. But then he goes on and says, And our Rabbanim learn from here that even to be makshered from what is prohibited, it requires tevila. Right, umeinida kasuv kan darshu maim haroyim litvul behem nida. When it says meinida, it's not referring to the actual sprinkling waters of the paraduma, but rather it's referring to a mikvah. So if one wants to eat from these, not only are you required to kasher them, but you also are required to tovel them. You're required to bring them to the mikvah. So it sounds like Rashi is deducing from this pasuk, right? Din d'oraisa, right? It sounds like the pasuk is teaching us that in order to use kelim that was once owned by non-Jews, one is required to bring it to the mikvah. So comes the Rabban and says, no, that's not what this pasuk is. That is a halacha, but it's not coming from this pasuk. But he says, he quotes Rashi, and says, but it's not correct. She'ein lashon taviru tvila. Plus, first of all, the language of taviru va'esh, and then to bring it is not the language of dipping it. That's first of all. And he has a couple of other questions as well. He says, he says, if that's the case, what does it have to do only with kalim that had heat attached to it? Even non-heated kalim, even an ice cream scooper, is going to require tevila before you do it if you get it from a non-Jew, even though it's not kosher at all. And he says, and also the drasha is coming from the pasuk itself, the gemara itself, when talking about a source for tevilas kalim, learns it out from a different pasuk. So rather, taviru b'mayim, he says, is zechabsem ulashavshem usam b'mayim yafe asher tasur chaluda shenidvka me. Rather, what is this referring to? It's referring to you need to, in order to kasher the kli, you have to clean it out really well as well. And that's what it's talking about. It has to be very clean. You got to get rid of all the rust. You got to get rid of all the dirt. And then one can go ahead and kasher it. Which is a big issue when it comes to kasher and kalim. Because they often they are dirty or they have things caught in the various places that... various schmutz and other type of things. So that's, he says, that's what the halacha is coming out from here. And then he adds in one other thing. Ramban makes an interesting point. Why is it that all these mitzvahs are coming now? Bnei Israel had wars already in the last couple of parshios. So in some of them, they were told, you're not allowed to touch any of the spoils. Right? That was one of them. But some of them, they weren't. they were able to take spoils from Edom, from the war with Edom. So why is this not mentioned there? So it says the Ramban, "V'hizir sam ataba galakli midyan miyisuri goyim, v'lo amr lehem zeh mitchilak b'chli sichon v'og shalachu gam shalalam." He says, and it didn't mention it early, previously, by those things. Why? Because he says, "Kamo sh'amar, raka behem v'bazu lanu v'shal arim v'shalachan." Right? As it says, that they took spoils from those places also. As the Pasuk tells in Devar, v'hatam, the reason is, "Ki sichon v'od malchei ha'morihem v'artzam mitchilak." Nachlas Yisrael, he says, was those wars were about conquering part of the land of Israel. They were Amorite kings, and therefore that was part of the process of conquering Eretz Yisrael. What's the difference? He says, V'hutter lehem kol shlalam afilu ha'isurim, because as they were conquering the land of Israel, they were permitted to eat even non-kosher meat. Any of the food that they found when they were conquering the land, they were permitted to eat it. Tichsiv, uvatim maleim kol tuv asher lo maleisa, that they feel that the houses are filled with all good which you have not filled, meaning the non-Jewish things. And the Gemara tells us, "Echaskulin kudli dechaziri, the back of the heads of pigs, yishtaril, who are going to be permitted to you, aval midyan lo haya mishalahem v'lo lachu esartzam." When it came to Midyan, Midyan wasn't an attack for their territory, rather Midyan was an attack of vengeance, because these were people that started up with us. So therefore, the heter of kudli dechaziri, as it's known from the Gemara, was not going to be applicable in that case. That's what Ravan says, that's why this halacha is mentioned here, because in these, when you capture the kingdom of Midian, you actually had to go ahead and kosher it, as opposed to when they captured the kingdom from other places, they didn't, because even the meat was going to be permitted to them. That actually plays a role. I think Rav Gorin discusses, if I recall correctly, I believe Rav Gorin discusses that with soldiers during the war for independence, when they were there's a whole issue about getting meat to the various things, and this issue came up of, could we permit kudli dechaziri for the members of Tzahal that were fighting to conquer the land of Israel at that time. Maybe we'll say that for halacha day either when we get back, or when we get back later when we get up to the sugya in Dvarim, okay, I guess in a couple of months of your session. Okay, have a good day, have a good Shabbos.
Have a good
Shabbos. Good week and good 2 weeks, and may the Gula come here with me.